I'm blank face and no window pane. Made clear in seconds of light. Disappears and returns again. Counting hours, searching the night. satisfaction return. There is deep prejudice in me. Outshines a reason inside. Given dreams are riddled with pain and projected onto the light.
We're standing here by the abyss, and the world is in flames. Two star-crossed lovers reaching out to the beast with many names.
He's the shining in the light without whom I cannot see. And he is insurrection, he's fight, he's the force that made me. Nostro disparte, nostra amate.
We're hiding here inside the dream, and all our doubts are now destroyed. The guidance of the morning star will lead the way into the void.
He is, he's the shining in the light without whom I cannot see. And he is insurrection, he is fight, he's the force that made me.
That's my favorite gear. Yep. And guess what? I'm the Star Chancellor of Space Force now. In the Space Force.
I'm a loser with a mic, spitting trash like a nigger. I wish I was black so my dick would get bigger. Filth room nigger, teeth fast, can't chew. Spit booty shit, don't get no views. Rude nigger, boo-hoo nigger. Rap sound like doo-doo nigger. Rude nigger, think I'm the GOAT. Only hold L's, can't hold a note. Talking shit about Bill and cops. Weak dick got kicked like gay ops. Wanna be gangster, but I just cry. Internet Nazi, living a lie.
Rude nigger, boo-hoo nigger. Rap sound like doo-doo nigger. Rude nigger, tryna chase clout. Crash out, T-Fash out.
Romans to my phone. Freak last week, cops came to my home. Acting like the king of the street. Begged chap for money just last week. Throwing Romans to my phone. Freak last week, cops came to my home. Like the king of the street, begged chap for money just last week. Rude nigga, boom, rude nigga. Rap sound like doo-doo nigga. Rude nigga, try to get that clout. Crash out, T-Fash out. Fash out.
Western.
Yeah, I'm gonna get my car, take it down the road. I'm gonna sail till I can't no more. I'm gonna get my car, take it down the road. I'm gonna sail till I can't no more. I got Tweety in the back, Jingle Bells attached, Aguas on the rack, I'm not very hard to catch. Cart is full of treats, I know you want to splurge. You see me in the streets, I see you running from that porch. Everybody loves elotes, they want to buy elotes. Everybody loves elotes, they want to buy elotes. When I hear the bells ring, they ask me would you stop please. Niños, they want everything, all I hear is touching. Feel like a movie star, money coming at me. You can call me Tony Stark before the movie endgame. Everybody loves elotes, they want to buy elotes. Everybody loves elotes, they want to buy elotes. I'm gonna get my car, take it down the road. I'm gonna sail till I can't no more. I'm gonna get my car, take it down the road. I'm gonna sail till I can't no more. Strawberry mango, get yourself helados. Want different flavors, maybe try the popsicles. Get a little crazy and get yourself some push pops. I have ninja turtles, even got Sonic the Hedgehog. Got pork skins if you're into that. I make some mean toasty locos, yo come right back. So come on down, meet me at the road. I'm gonna sail till I can't no more. I'm gonna take my car, take it down the road. I'm gonna sail till I can't no more. I'm gonna get my car, take it down the road. I'm gonna sail till I can't no more.
You, I'm white, but that doesn't mean I'll back down from a fight. I'll stand tall, I'll be strong. I won't let your narrow-minded views steer me wrong. You try to put me in a box, label me with your hate, but I refuse to be confined by your twisted fate.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Late Night White Build. We are joined tonight by our wonderful guest and the amazing, amazing live stream influencer amongst our movement. And God send you our people. To be honest, Flood.
I don't know if God sent me, but I'm definitely here. Hey, thanks for having me on the show, man. How's it going, everybody? What's up, chat?
So, we'll start tonight, Flood, the way
yes,
we start
sir.
Every episode. I always ask everybody, what was it that brought you to the movement and brought you to your awakening of the truth?
That's a great question, man. I could probably name several things that had they not happened, I wouldn't be here. But the most intentional part of my journey here started with Wanderer's Choice. Wanderer's Choice from Gab, who I actually met through a Salty Cracker chat, in which nobody actually even likes Salty Cracker, but it's just how I met the guys over on, I don't even remember what platform we were on. I went to a chat room, though, because I was like, hey, man, there must be some Salty Cracker fans out there. I'm going to chat with those guys. They must be cool. And I found a couple of Nazis, and so they basically tied me up and brainwashed me over the next 2 years. Yeah, right before I decided, I'd become a streamer, and then the magic happened. So if it wasn't for Wanderer's Choice and a couple of the people in that salty chat, probably would have never happened.
That's cool. I'm glad that you were receptive of it, at least.
I wasn't. At first, I wasn't, actually. At first, I thought they were incredible. I thought they were... I didn't understand the Jew, right? And so I understood Hidden Hand. I understood World Domination. I understood, you know, Secret Elite, Hidden Cabal, all that stuff. Even the satanic, you know, terrible sex ritual shit. But I didn't realize it was the Jews. And then I didn't believe it was the Jews. And then I thought that they were racist. I mean, even though that was our hatred of niggers that brought us all together. When it started talking about Jews, you know, a guy from Oklahoma, Midwestern, grew up in the Midwest, as, you know, just a white boy. You don't even know any Jews. You know what I mean? You've never met one. You wouldn't know one if you saw one. You certainly didn't realize they have an archetype or a phenotype or any types. So not having ever met any Jews, it's just, you know, I just thought, hey, you guys are fucking nuts. You know, hey, Hitler's dead. We won the war. You know, we've all heard these before, these inflammatory things. And I just couldn't figure out, like, why. Okay, so, like, you're against evil, I'm against evil. Why? What's with the Hitler shit, you know? And at first, I didn't understand it. And then they started bringing out the genetics. And, you know, like, you know how Nazis are, right? Like, we want to red pill everybody, but we want it to be fast. We need to do it in one day. It took them about a year. It took a year for them to actually get it to sink in, you know, before I really started to get it, that this guy Hitler was not just, he's not just a meme uncle, you know, like, he was really something. He was really something, and what he did was really, had never been done. It took a long time for me to get it. But they stuck it out. If they hadn't stuck it out, I probably would have washed out. Thanks to Wanderer's Choice and FU and all the other people that woke me up.
Yeah, I understand exactly what you mean there, because I've preached against it for so many years now, it's not even funny. That, you know, some people use the kind of water creating the Grand Canyon sort of thing, where it's gradual. Other people use like a detonation entry procedure, where it's just like, you know, C4 on the wall. There's not a door there. We'll make one.
So was yours more of the trickling river, or was it the explosion?
Mine. I was race woke growing up. I was raised mostly by my grandfather, because me and my dad didn't get along from the time I was 8. So it was my grandpa mostly raising me, and he was an old school Navy vet.
Right on.
And was still very racist. So I was like, cool. And then growing up where I did, I knew people, like friends of the family, that were Klan members, and we all knew they were. Nobody talked about it, but we knew. But I didn't get Jew woke until I was 18 in the military and in Afghanistan. And
oh, you learned the hard way, man. A lot of people take that route. You're not the first person to tell me that it was their military service that woke them up.
It's insane when you've seen it for your very own eyes, and you're able to, you know, connect the dots, because you're an inquisitive fuck. And
that must have been kind of shocking if you're actually over there and then you kind of realize what you're doing. And then, you know, if that changes the frame in your mind of what you're doing, it's got to be hard to talk yourself out of, you know, into doing certain things anymore. Did you have that kind of reaction?
Yeah, I was seriously, like, at first, I believe, you know, I was still, you know, patriotic, pissed off teenager that was mad at the world. And you know, I wanted to go to war.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm either gonna come out of this settled down more, or I'm not gonna come out of this, and either way I'm cool with it. And then when I saw troops guarding poppy fields and capped oil wells, and then with what I did in the military, I was able to talk to high up people. And
yeah,
finding out that all that was for Israel, and I was watching kids get shot, you know, guys my age get shot guarding them and killed. I was like, what? Like, we don't get anything out of this? Why the fuck aren't they guarding it?
Yeah, it's kind of funny how it's kind of cool. Like, it's cool if things don't make sense until your friends start to die. And then suddenly you need things to make fucking sense. You know what I mean? And suddenly you need a reason to be doing some of the things that you're doing. And you kind of start wanting to know why you're doing those things. Because you begin to suspect that all the answers are always the same. I've heard this from a lot of people, from quite a few people that have come back from overseas. And they all said the same thing. Like, they didn't really understand going in what they were going for, and then coming out, they understood too well. And you know, it changed them as a person, just not in the way that they thought when they went in. You know, they came out a lot smarter, but a lot more black-pilled. And did you come out more black-pilled? Were you mad to come out? A lot of guys are mad to get out.
At first, I was fucking furious. Like, it was a really rough ride for me. I was, because also with what I did, what tied the government in with for me, like solid, there was no denying that they controlled our government, was hand delivering Clinton Foundation crates to lesser, smaller terrorist organizations in exchange for information for leaders of larger terrorist groups. And those crates were full of arms and ammunition that went on to be used to kill American soldiers.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's, you know, that's how it is. That's, you know, a great analogy.
No choice but to do it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great analogy of the how you find out about the Jews too. You know, it's like you're doing your fucking job. What you're doing, what you're supposed to do, what you've always been told you're supposed to do, what you've always believed you're supposed to do. It's probably not far from what your daddy did. You know, it's what people do. They even say that. But then you realize that it's not. And then it's not for you who you thought it was. And it's not what you thought it was. And it didn't have the meaning that you thought it did. And all this stuff that you told yourself to abide by a life where you don't get to, where you don't put any time into yourself, you don't take care of yourself, you don't build your own future, you don't earn your own wealth, you earn it for somebody else, you know. By the time you figure out that you're not doing that, that's how you find out, you know what I mean? It's just like, oh, this is a case full of grenades, and grenades just killed my friend last week, you know? Yeah. That's kind of it. I get it.
Yeah. It's so infuriating.
A lot of people used to believe their taxes paid for the roads, right? I pay my taxes so they fix the roads, right? Same thing.
Most of your taxes go to the defense budget.
Your taxes are buying hand grenades, you know what I mean? And your roads.
Oh, no, no, not hand grenades. Not hand grenades, buddy. Oh, no. Do you know who has the largest navy in the world? The United States. You know who has the second largest navy in the world? The United States Museum Ship Fleet.
The Museum Fleet? No shit.
Yeah.
That's interesting. That's interesting as fuck. There's a Museum Fleet, and they don't sink those ships, huh? They just do they maintain them? I suppose they maintain them. That's got to be expensive.
They sink some, but like the top of their. The top of the line ones for their time, like the flagships and stuff like that, or famous battleships that survived World War II, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. What they do is they keep them as floating museums mm-hmm. to the ship and to the Navy itself. And then what they do with it is, they charge, of course, they charge people to come in and It's open to the public. You can come in and take the tour and check out the museum and all. But these ships are technically still fully functional. Like, a little bit of work, like a week's worth of work, and you could put them out in commission right now, like within a few weeks to a few months.
Hell yeah. If it floats and draws fire, baby, fucking get it out there, you know? Fucking put some niggers on that and get it out there. Get it out there in the Middle East.
Like, the USS Texas could wipe out most countries' navies today on its own.
So I think the mothball fleet is still on standby, and that it can certainly be floated. And of course, there's been times where governments did that, you know. So for ours, but you know, yeah, I'm sure we've got a banger. I mean, we spent a lot of money on arms, you know.
Yeah,
but I mean, without getting into the pissing contest of which one's biggest, you know, it's just that we get none of them are owned by us. And eventually, they're probably gonna use them on us.
Yeah.
You know, so it's
well,
it's a little bit bittersweet, but it's nice to get something I paid for back out of it. You know,
I think will be used against us, but I think the military will splinter off and branch, not even branch by branch, but base by base, basically, kind of splinter off into civil war again.
Well, now I thought Trump was going to save us from all that, didn't we?
If it comes down to civil war in the United States, the military, the active military, most likely is not going to just like all attack one side because the president says so. No, it'll fracture because it's not a lawful order.
And when introduced to the stresses and pressures, we've already seen what the leadership does. It calls China. Calls his buddy over next to Jing and says, "Hey, man, don't worry. If we're going to attack you, I'll let you know. You know? No sneak attacks here, buddy. Ching chong, ching chang." Yep. I mean, this country's been, the people have been a joke. The leadership's been a joke since World War II. You know, the infrastructure has been around that long. I thought the collapse was on hold. Didn't they prop that up? I thought they were going to hold off on the full infrastructure collapse because I mean, obviously I imply that it's all not only controlled, but completely preventable and catalyzed by bad actors. You know, that's exactly what I mean.
Oh yeah. It's, I mean, I've given up on the federal level entirely.
It was never really there, right? I mean, it got a really big check, but it never really affected you. It never, the orders those orders hardly ever came down to your level or the ground level of actual operations afield, you know?
Actually, for what I did, they did.
Did they? Yeah, that's good. So
I received orders that were like, at times, I was in the room when they were given by the sitting president or vice president at the time and through the Joint Chiefs of Staff.
Well, cool. Can you tell anybody about it?
Not much.
Why do you? Yeah.
I can say we were sent after a certain people, like leaders of organizations to put in the ground or capture. And typically when those orders were given, they were redacted afterwards.
Yeah, I was going to say there's people, because if you tell anybody what you did, there's people that'll do the same thing, but your name's on the paper this time.
Very possible at times. I mean, some stuff's been declassified, but I'd have to fucking look into it again and see what all has. But basically we were places we were, they were telling us we had to go somewhere we weren't supposed to be.
Sure.
Sort of thing.
It's kind of funny. I was watching YouTube the other day, and it was a guy who claims he's, you know, he was the one who shot Kennedy, or he claimed that he was there. I don't remember. They were, it's 70s contractors, you know, 70s, 60s, 70s contractors. Of course, they're all very old guys now. And yeah, the ones that do talk, that's what they said they did. You know, it was like, we destabilized foreign governments in South America, in the Southern Hemisphere, you know, basically, like, since from the time the CIA began, they started to topple governments in South America for some reason. Now, if you're just a regular farmer or a politician in from fucking Minneapolis or wherever, and you're in government and it's 1952, you know, and you're just like, everyone's really impressed with fucking color TV. You know, Sears is like is growing fast and going to be the biggest store in the world someday. Yeah. Why would you, even if you're an elected official, just wake up one day and be like, you know, man, fucking, we got to do something about these guys in fucking Uruguay, man, or fucking Brazil or Panama any one of those countries down there, you know, but that's apparently what we were doing the whole time, like during the 60s and 70s, the whole arms race, right? That was an illusion, right? Because like the Jews running Russia at the time were working with the Jews that are running New York. And the government, you know, by proxy, it's not reasonable at all to think that government hasn't been completely taken over by Jews a long, long time ago. Because, like, as soon as they took over New York, of course they took over the government. But why else would we be down there? And then all of these governments down there are communist governments, right? We're setting up communist governments all over South America. Why would we be doing that? You know, I think the Cuban Missile Crisis, Kennedy coming along, that was the first time that people had a conscience of there being a communist country close, you know, close by. But even that was, you know, I mean, I do think a little bit of Kennedy's term was probably a little bit like the beginning of Trump's, right? Like he was an outsider maybe, or maybe he wasn't, but he was going in and people didn't want him there and he started making problems for people. And so they, you know, they took care of it. And so, like, it seems like Trump was kind of heading the same direction. But how much of that, again, like, really affects the people at home, right? Like, you don't even think about that. But then, like,
I'll tell you what the problem was with Kennedy.
Please do.
The reason they feared Kennedy is the same reason they feared Trump. It wasn't so much that he was an outsider or it wasn't his fame. JFK wasn't that fucking famous. You know, what scared them about JFK is the fact that JFK was a legitimate fucking badass war hero. JFK was in Japan. He was in the South. He was in the Pacific on a He was in the South Pacific on a fucking PT boat. PT-109.
That's right.
As a matter of fact, was his boat. And they got rammed in half by a Japanese submarine. He rescued his men off of his boat onto this little frickin' island and wrote an SOS message to his command with his knife on a coconut husk and gave it to an islander and had them canoe over to where command was. The command ship was, and give them the message so that they can come get his men. He then went out on another fucking PT boat, hunted down that sub, and took it out. He had a little bit of help from the command ship, but like
now
he
that's
attacked
what it should
that
be.
Sub in a PT
I mean,
boat.
That's the kind of guy that should be president. That's the kind of guy like you know, Rockwell was a fucking commander of a boat, and fucking, you know, like a lot of good presidents were good generals. I think Eisenhower maybe was like the turning point where things went really bad. Basically, Eisenhower just let Jews control him and everything else. Of course, you'd have to be to kill, you know, 30 to 50 million German people, right? But that's what he did, you know. But the hero, war hero, right? World War II. Anyway, So Kennedy was a guy who was going to make problems for them, the same way that that I won't say in the same way at Trump, but the same way that any white nationalist would have, right? Like Rockwell would have been the same. Anybody that started asking about like the Federal Reserve, the gold standard, aliens, the CIA, what do you guys do? Where's all the fucking money?
So, well, I mean, the only proof you need of, in my opinion, of JFK's character as a person, as a man, is that if you can look these up online, the transcript of the phone conversation between him and Fidel Castro during the Cuban Missile Crisis that ended it, because Fidel Castro is threatening him with a fucking bomb, with a nuke, and he tells Castro, "You have one weapon."
Yeah, this is what I'm talking about here. Exactly the same thing. So why was the U.S. all over the South America changing? I mean, like, if we're so against Castro, and of course the big Cold War, the Cuban Missile Crisis. I mean, the thing is that Kennedy's not the fucking point, right? The point was, why in the fuck is the United States all over the Southern Hemisphere turning communist governments, putting them in power? Why? You know, like what? Because that's what all these guys were doing. That's what you were doing. You know, you're down there basically changing regimes for people since World War II. Why would that be?
Well,
we all know that the commies won World War II. We know that they took over Europe after that. Where would they go next? What are they going to do next? They're going to sell you fucking chocolate while you're paying for fucking guys to fly down there in black helicopters and fucking and pop fucking brown people and all that other good shit. Arming them, selling them guns. Yeah.
The fact that the CIA still gets away with it because the CIA has the worst mission success rate. Like, if you go by the parameters of if you get down to the nuts of what this mission is meant to achieve, they have the worst success rate of any intelligence agency in the world.
Oh, I totally believe that. Totally. It correlates to their funding, right? So if you get the most funding, you can have the most failure and continue to operate and not, you know, not have people come kill you.
Yeah.
I mean, so like we pay for that negligence, you know, with our lives, right? With fentanyl and, you know, whatever else people do when they cross the border. You know, the I think a lot of people are mad at white men because they, you know, because some because they believe that white men have just kind of allowed the country to slip away. And then some because they don't believe that, but they believe that they're doing it now, you know. And so, you know, if there was something that men had that actually made them proud of what they had and made them want to take care of it, or, you know, like all that stuff, that's what they teach you in school, right? That's what they taught me. That's what good parents will teach you, you know, that like you should respect and you should, you know, appreciate and you should, you know, revere things. It seems like that's what we lost. We didn't lose that. It was just that those things were misdirected, right? So you used to have pride in your country. You used to love and honor your community, your people, your nation meant something. But now that's all been turned into an individualist brand and logo and you know, employment package and stock option. And if you're lucky, maybe you get a retirement package. You know what I mean? Like they've traded nationalism for personalism and because they knew that you weren't going to stop having those impulses and tendencies, but that they could misdirect them. Yeah, was a great victory for them, right? Because now they do have a country that's easy to take away from us. Most people won't do anything to defend it. Most people won't call in sick tomorrow if they had to, you know?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
To me, it's like we've got too many people that get stuck in the, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel that there are certain people that draw the younger crowds into this movement, the teenagers, you know, late teens, early 20s, young adults. They draw them to this, you know, to our, to, you know, to being Jew woke and all through comedy or whatever, but they're kind of gatekeepers themselves too. Some of them are because, you know, they don't encourage the people that like them, that aren't, you know, hating on them, and the people that listen, that, you know, like them, they're not encouraging them to go educate themselves and learn more. They just get them right into that point where they're woke up and angry about everything, and they don't move past the anger and actually educate themselves.
Yeah,
because
no, that's
because their idol in the movement, the guy that brought them here, never encourages it.
So see, like I would note the correlation.
They build their own little internet army of these kids that literally feed into what the Jews tell the general public we are. There's a bunch of online racists.
Well, they fill the stereotype completely, right? They fill the stereotype completely while getting away with it, number one, and two, while encouraging people, or I should say, indirectly encouraging people in a manner so that they can indirectly deny it later. But most of our people, if you look at the accomplishments that they've made, you know, once the time they come in here, what a lot of things have, they get their first printer, like a lot of people get their first printer, never bought a printer, now they got one. Maybe they throw their first flyer, maybe they go to their first, you know, action, maybe they hold a flag, maybe they put on a mask. You know, they start to get active. They start to do things on behalf for the race, right? For the race. For them, it's always for the race. But there's this certain intersection between the part where you make money and the part where people are mad. And if you can keep those people mad, the money keeps coming in. But see, once they get over mad, you know, once they get on to like, oh, well, how do we actually stop this? And it's like, oh, well, we can't, you eventually, you know, learn that you can't go pick up all those things that you've been collecting all this time and finally go use them. You know what I mean? Like, that's what everybody thinks that you should do. That's absolutely, there's a reason nobody says that, because like people will come to your fucking house. And number two is like, because that won't fucking work, right? You know, like you're actually probably going to get capped by the first cop that comes across you carrying all those things. And you know, that's probably going to be the end of it, other than the news story that's going to run about you later, you know? Because the ADL already knows about it and they're on their way, you know, and they're bringing the news crew with them. You know, they got the news crew with them already. So, like, they're going to come out and report, you know, the most insane things about you. But you'll be dead, so it won't matter. Most of those people have accomplished a case. You know what I mean? Like, they're not the famous ones either, right? The ones that you've heard of and the ones that everybody else has heard of and the ones that we've all heard these people say their names, those people... Some of those people are in jail. Most of them aren't, though. But the people that are in jail, and there's a lot of them, you'll never know who they were. You know what I mean? They could be gone for years. They may get out and just like go in a different direction. But they'll permanently carry the results of that, you know, forever.
Yeah.
Funny thing is, the guy that's keeping everybody mad and making all the money is not. He's not there. Like, he's not in court with you. Like, he's not. Well, I mean, if you get out and you make enough, you send him a video, and if he gets to it, and like if he checks his Telegram, maybe he'll play your video, you know, throw you a Roman on fucking on the internet, be based. And you just got to
usually he won't even promote your Give, Send, Go or anything like that.
Right? Yeah. When you need $25,000 and you have no way to get a lawyer. And you have no fucking chance. But everybody ponies up anyway. You know, that's where the, you know, you got to keep them angry. Otherwise, they make it smart.
And that's the thing is, if you just understand, which I know it's kind of hard for some of these people because they're not, that white people are very fucking loyal. So if you're the one that helped them learn the truth, regardless of how far they go after that, they're still going to be a fucking fan of yours because they're grateful to you. as long as you treat them right.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. Like, there is definitely, but we want there to be a respect thing. We want there to be a mentorship thing. There needs to be a social structure for white men to climb. You know what I mean? And so, if we have to make our own, as we always do. And so we do. And that will always center probably around people that are actually competent, you know? Those people aren't exactly the most outgoing. Like, the most competent people aren't the people that are out there saying, hey, I'm the most competent guy. There are competent people that make the world go round, right? But there's also a lot of actors that go around and act like they're that, you know? But they're not a competent person. They're an actor, you know? And there's always an actor to fill every role. It's almost like there's a casting... Well, it's like there's a casting agency just on the other side of the veil, and for every situation, they got a couple actors that are rolling in. The part's already taken, but you know, but if you act quickly and you're good with your lines, you can fill one of those roles instead of them. You know what I mean? Now, good luck making a difference, champ. Get on in there. You know, but it's going to take a nation full of people that are sick of this fucking shit that they don't want it anymore. You know, and. Not only that, but like they're willing to go to extreme measures to not fucking have it, and they're willing to give up everything they do have. Like, so we got to get to a point where everything you have is not worth much, which they're taking you there as well, or to a point where you're willing to do extreme things for things you already have. And a lot of people they have those things because men before them were willing to do that. You know what I mean? But the things they have are so nice now that they're not willing to.
Well, I can tell you now, here in the near future, I kind of can see us getting almost, no pun intended, but almost flooded with new people coming, because the America First people right now are so fucking furious about the fact that we're not helping Ukraine the way we're helping Israel. We're not backing Ukraine the way we're backing Israel. And if we're going to back one in one way, we should back both in the same manner, you know, with the same tone, at least.
Mm-hmm. I agree with them. So let's stop helping Israel.
Or stay out of both of them. And just... Yeah. You know, be the intermediary negotiator between the two.
I think why would we help you? Why would we help Israel, not Ukraine? So we definitely should stop helping Israel.
Yeah.
That's fair. 100%. And they won't, of course, because, you know, it's Jews. Yeah, but don't let them fool you. Like Donald Trump is just there to separate the idea of Ukraine from Israel, I think, you know, just because they've kind of run together in the last couple of years, right? Because we have been heavily funding both of them, right? I don't know about, I don't have billions to give anybody, let alone give to fucking Volodymyr Zelensky or whatever his fucking name is, or Putin or anybody else. Like, So perception management just tells me that Trump's just there to be like, look, everything's exactly the way that you think it is. Don't worry, guys. There's nothing going on here. You know, just Jews are Jewing and fucking, you know, and we're paying for it. But that's been status quo for a long time. I don't think Trump's never really hidden it from anybody. He's probably one of the most obviously like, I don't want to say like pro Jew or on the take, right? But he's on team, you know, team evil, and he is
he is one of the most Zionist presidents we've had.
Yep, and that's just a big show. That's a big Jewish, fucking knotted rope from. I love all Jews to like. I really love this one particular Jew who pays me a lot of money. But you know, they go like, well, but I love all Jews. And they're just like, I love all people. They're just like, I love anything at all. Like, and all these people are fucking empty. I don't think they love anything. But it's just what we've accepted for like, oh, well, that's not the, I mean, that's not even news, let alone is that, you know, so anything that I paid for or anything that I expected from, you know, from him or like, I would want any of these federal employees to be number one, like doing their fucking job. And number two, being transparent about it. I'd put it that way. Trump plays that role very well. He's not as like, he's not really hiding anything. He's just like, nah, fuck, I love those fucking Jews. I'll give those Jews all your fucking money, you know? But at least he'll tell you that. And he'll tell you that you should think that that's good and yeah. You should fucking appreciate him for that. You don't give him enough credit for that.
Yeah, he's one of those kind of guys, he'll shake your hand while he's fucking your wife, you know?
Exactly. Exactly.
It's just one of those things.
He's always been that. Dude, he's a shameless guy. I mean, he was on the cover of Forbes and Vanity Fair and shit when he was 17. And not because he's a good-looking guy. You know what I mean? Just that's how rich he was.
It's because his uncle was one of the guys that fucking one of the federal agents that was looking into Nikola Tesla.
No, his great-uncle.
Or his great-uncle was what?
His uncle was the man who was sent by Washington to collect the estate of Tesla when he died.
Nikola Tesla.
Yeah, collected his laboratory, collected his notes, took everything. Yep.
Well, somehow 20 crates are missing.
Mm-hmm. 20 of what crates? Yeah, I mean, like, it's 20 crates are missing from what, you see what I mean? Like, it's just, it's another part of a story, you know, it's, the story that even got anything was a story, you know, I have heard some crazy ideas that kind of spin off from that interaction. I think it is interesting that people in the Trump family the people with the Trump name are playing these kind of pivotal roles, maybe in what I'd say was American history.
Well, I firmly believe that Nikola Tesla was one of the most brilliant men to ever live, and I firmly believe that he probably invented shit. He never, like, actually built it, but he had all the fucking schematics, measurements, everything, like, done up to a T for inventions that the Jews would have him killed for because they make too much money. Like, I don't know, hydrogen-powered cars.
I call this like the Tesla fallacy, right? This is okay. This and I don't disagree actually. Based on what I know of Tesla, I would tend to agree completely. That said, though, what do I really know? Like, I know what people have told me about him. I know things that I've read online about him. I've never actually, of course, you know, he predated us, so we've never even seen a Tesla thing before. I've seen maybe a Tesla valve. Like he did invent. He had some designs that became like. At least public knowledge, even if they weren't public property, but like the Tesla valve and that whole flow dynamics thing was definitely, you know, something that came from him. So like we can demonstrate that he was a smart guy, but we go to a lot of assumption that he had things that were basically otherworldly that he had either just like had, he's the only guy that had the brilliant enough mind to conceive of this thing. But why? Like, is he like, so like the evidence that he was what everybody says he is the reason that everyone says he's the way that he was, right? Like, because there is no evidence that Tesla was brilliant. Of course, that's proof that he was brilliant because they took everything that he ever fucking made and got rid of it or filed it away or he became missing or was stored away somewhere. But you see what I mean? So like evidence.
I understand. I thought like, I'm still that way about most things people like theorize that was in missing things, but the reason I brought up specifically the hydrogen powered car or the mm-hmm. water powered car basically is because there is modern evidence that in modern record, like since television, there have been two different people that went public with the fact that they figured out how to make hydrogen powered vehicles.
And
they wound up fucking going missing or killed themselves, even though they told their families and everyone, if anything comes out and I'm found dead, know that I did not commit suicide, period. I swear to you.
Yep. who was the guy that I think that I've heard of the most with the hydrogen, the water-powered car? He actually got to go. He actually did get to... to like go around the state fairs and shit for a while, you know, telling people about it and shit like that. Like, so that wasn't necessarily, let me, you know, what was his fucking name? It's going to bug me now. But there was a guy, and I want to say it was 50s, 60s. He was running around like doing little exhibitions. He's probably generally credited with creating it, but I don't think he did. I mean, it's a fucking electronic process, basically, or chemical reaction. Stan Meyer, right? Stan Meyer was the guy. He was running around showing people his car. Well, fucking, who was the guy that built the Corvette out of a hybrid or hydrogen cell? That was the Area 51 guy. You remember him?
God,
I can't remember his name.
Yeah, you know who I'm talking about.
Bob Lazar.
Bob Lazar, thank you. He had a hydrogen cell Corvette when he did that interview back in the 80s.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yep. So like the it was newer. It was a newer idea then than now. But these alternate. You're right. All these alternate energy methods have been tapped before. Stan Meyer got the water. He's the guy that he either like invented it or he's actually was allowed to go around believing or saying that he did, and you know was supported that he did.
But I know anyone who had one or made one that said that. Made any kind of announcement that they were going to make the technology public, like let the public know exactly how to do it.
Yep.
They went missing. Boom.
Isn't that funny? Like pattern noticers beware. Like as soon as you have the idea for a hydrogen car, you're going to have the idea that you're not suicidal and then you're going to disappear and you're going to get sick. You know what I mean? So just don't do the first two things. Yeah. Don't do the pattern.
It's just like that's there have been people in the past that tried to do the whole free energy thing that Tesla created
using geomagnetic.
And they did it, they were doing it like just on their own property, and they either the government shut them down and imprisoned them, or they went missing.
I always wanted to be an inventor growing up, too. Didn't you want to invent stuff when you were a kid, like be an inventor? No, you don't.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I was always, I don't know about inventor so much, but I always wanted to make things.
Right on. A builder.
Like, I was, as a little kid, I was, you know, growing up on a farm, I was always interested when the farrier came around and he taught me how to make knives and stuff.
And at least they're handing down skills. Yeah, like you get a skill that way. I don't think that we don't get enough of that anymore. There's not a lot of people with skills, you know, and skills are so subjective. But skills weren't subjective when that's what held your house together, or that's how your gun fucking worked in bear country in the winter, or you know what I mean? Like all these other places where skills actually matter. You know, we were taught that skills were like, you know, being better at Call of Duty and like knowing how to pick up, you know, whores.
I can type so many letters per second.
I'm a fast typer. I shovel well. I'm fucking, actually shoveling well will get you somewhere though, especially, with your outlet, especially if you're a white man, you're just getting out of high school. Like you better learn shovel engineering.
I've been letting our younger guys know that, listen, you don't have to go to college. That's bullshit. Go to trade school. But if you're going to do a trade, I'm going to tell you now, if you live in the South, if you're going to go into the trades, be an electrician, because the manuals and all the coding books for electrical are only in English. Okay.
There you go. I tell him be an electrician anyway, just because that's where the money's at. And honestly, that's where the demand's going to be in the future. But the thing is, your systems are going to be changing. Like right now, electrical guys better be good at climbing towers. But in the future, you better be good at like digging ditches and everything else that goes along with being electric. Of course, like those aren't actually the electricians. The electricians are the guys that they're the ones that come in and do the taps, right? And then it's kind of funny how it's a huge network of people that bury pipe, pull wire so that one guy can come out and put those two wires together, and he's going to make, you know, $350,000 that year, and you're going to make about $75,000, and you're going to work a lot harder.
Yeah.
But that's how it is when you're coming up through the trades. That's how it's supposed to be. Like, there's supposed to be a payout. Like, when you put in the time, see, you can't just come in with skill. Even if you're a natural, even if you're a prodigy, you can't just come into the union with skill and get a big job over 5,000 guys because you're good at something, right? Like, you got to have the years in too. So,
well, there's one trade that you can, at least somewhat. That? Welding. Your pay in welding is all depends on how good you are at that time.
Well,
so you're fresh out of school, but you're welding like an old, like a guy that's been at it for fucking 40 years. If your work looks that good, and is that well welded, then you could be making up to $50 an hour
or more,
depending on where you're at.
Yeah, that's the way it should be. That's the way it should be. There should be some meritocracy involved as well as some time served. Because there's a lot of old guys, too, that were never good at what they did. But they've been there 50 years. And because of that, they want more. In a way, I kind of get that. I understand putting in time somewhere, right? Most people just don't respect time. Bottom line, most people don't respect time. They certainly don't respect their own time. They're not going to respect the time you spent, you know, learning your craft, right? When you show up out there, they don't give a fuck about the 40 years you spent doing what you're doing. They want their toilet fixed, you know, or their leak or their clog fixed, like right now. And you know, they got to pee, and, you know, within the order of the people that do the work, right? Like the union of electricians or the actors guild or whoever else, there is respect for the time served. There is respect for the guys that died, you know, figuring out certain shit or how to build a valve the right way all the guys the safety rules are named after. If they don't respect it, who will?
That's part of why I honestly believe that if we can gain control of the infrastructure and the government of this country, mandatory 2-year military service for all young men, I believe in, because it teaches you that. Like, within 2 years in the military, you learn that Any officer from you know, first lieutenant to typically around captain, like, you respect captain a little more, but the lieutenants you really don't fucking respect. But if sergeant major comes around, that man gets the most respect of everyone but a general.
My granddad was a chief warrant officer, World War II, coming out of Europe. He wasn't on the front, you know, was in the back camp, you know, but mess hall chef, you know, but also highest rank you could get, not being, you know, commissioned. A lot of respect, you know, of course, from other military men, you know. Coming home, I'm sure that there's been a declining amount of respect for ex-military men since World War II, but it was at its highest when he came home, you know, obviously. So, like, when you were a G.I. Joe or a doughboy or whatever, you know, you were celebrated after the war when you won, right? But way luckier than the guys that lost.
Yeah, and honestly...
You come home and you fucking hate the civilians. Yeah, you fucking hate these motherfuckers, probably, like a lot of them do.
Well, no, it wasn't even that. Back then, it, they were proud because they won and they fought, you know, to keep the world safe, so they believed. And even if they learned otherwise, they were just glad to have made it home.
Yeah.
And, you know, people were happy that they did, so they're like, cool. Whereas... you look at Vietnam era, and even Iraq, Afghanistan at points in time, dude, we were not treated well.
No, definitely not. Like after World War II, those are sons and daughters were coming home. Yeah, like it was our boys are coming home after World War II. After Vietnam, it was more like, shit. How many people died? Like 50,000 in Vietnam. So it was a shit show, and so the war was unpopular. Nothing like World War II. There was a total anti-war movement going on in society. Of course, Jews leading both sides of each, of course. But of course, social turmoil and all these other things. Like that's what's weird is looking back and retconning all those things. You know, once you become Jew woke, because suddenly the context does change. You know, suddenly coming home from war is different. You know, suddenly looking back at things like the Cold War and shit were different.
I mean, by the general public.
Of course. I mean, but you see, that was engineered, right? Yeah. The public hated you because Jews told them to. And fucking, you went and fought because Jews told you to. So that's weird how that all works.
Like, I literally had a fucking Karen spit on me when I landed in DFW on my way home. Like, I mean, fresh back from overseas. Coming back home.
Well, that was the new thing then, right? Was spit on a fucking soldier or disrespect the soldier? Because why? Because Jane Fonda fucking told them to.
Yeah,
and I will say that the air marshal that was like about 100 feet away, and the two Texas Rangers that were hanging out. Like right by the bar, they didn't like it too much. They arrested that chick.
That's good. There should be some respect between soldiers, the same way there would be between between electricians or between any group of people. There should be group preference. Yeah,
it's like think about it for just a second. You're blaming a 19, 20-year-old kid that was sent to war by the government because he serves in the military and they have the right to do that because you're technically government property when you're in the military. You're a slave, essentially. They send you over there. You have no choice in the matter. You either go or you go to prison. And then they get home and you blame them for the actions they had to do while at war, but not the politicians that fucking made them, or the high ups that are pushing the agenda that are giving the orders to be handed down to the troops. You're not going after those people.
Nope.
You're going after a guy that literally almost died probably every fucking day for however long he was over there. And yet when he comes home, he can't even have a fucking beer.
Yeah, no, see, they got rid of that. Like, at some point in time, and it was sometime between now and then, society quit being about you and started being about me, right? Like, and everything just became me first. There's a total me thing. And so, like, people's, the way, not only the way they act, the way they think, the things they say, the way that they communicate, everything is from a self-centered perspective. Yeah, the perspective of the unit or of the, you know, like the unit of democracy or patriotism or whatever it is, you know, you were a part of a bigger whole. The entire collective idea has been suppressed while the individualist has been, you know, has been falsely elevated as well to, you know, like individualism has been taken to the point of like celebrity fame and stardom, where like it used to just be like, you know, if you were just different, you know, then that way it actually was a good thing to be different. I'll just put it that way. Like it wasn't a terrible thing if you were exceptionally different at something. You know, if you really sucked at something, you know, that's where the meritocracy part kicks in, right? Like you're going to get effed off. You're going to end up dead. Or, you know, if you're a non-white, you know, then you'll just be falsely supported but not respected among the community. You know, so they used to have all these placeholder blacks everywhere after the 60s. You know, and just like the, as sure as the media has been substituted, so has society slowly is being substituted. You know, there are plants everywhere now. There, you know, people aren't what they appear to be. Like, in some cases, motherfuckers wearing skin suits and crazy shit on TV. Like there's times where I know Joe Biden had looked like a fucking, you know, like he's just an old guy wearing a mask. Like, he's 6 inches taller today than he was yesterday. Like, come on.
He doesn't have any freckles or spots on his hand.
This whole theatrical world, yeah, it's this whole thing, man. It's very Jewish. It's very Talmudic, yeah, and it is. And I'm not a fan of the soap operas.
Like it baffles me, but at the same time, it doesn't. I get why, but it's just ridiculous to me that the easier it has become to consume information, whether it be accurate or not. To me, it seems like the dumber society has gotten.
Yeah, true. It certainly has. For several reasons, I think, too. I mean, not just because some people have a tendency to believe a lot. It's a kind of a perfect storm. You have a group of people that have a tendency to believe everything they hear. And then you have a group of people that have a tendency to make up shit all the time. And so guess what happens? Over time, you have this terrible dependency where, you know, like one people are working very hard to support another group of people who, you know, don't appreciate them and don't fucking care. They just want more, more, more. While these people have to work harder and harder, harder for less and less and less. And, you know, these people have to keep these other people alive too. You know, even though it's them that can't live without the others. If they let the host die, parasites fucked, man. So, they have to kind of keep the blood farm alive, you know, so the economy will be propped up eventually. What economy, right? Like the numbers on the board in New York are going to go down fucking, yeah. Like, I'm sorry, man, the money's already gone. Like, they already stole your money. You've been standing there looking at the stock ticker for 27 years, you know, thinking that someday your kids are going to retire because of you. Nope, they're not. We're all slaves. We're all slaves of these bankers. And they've long since taken all the gold somewhere else. It's probably somewhere in Israel. Yep. Like, they took all the gold out of here in like 60-something, right after Kennedy died. I'm sure it was like, get this gold out of here. We're out of here. We're going back to fucking, we're going back to the fucking, to this Levant and shit.
It was three or four years after we went off the gold standard that we traded. Now, I never could find exactly what we got in this trade. All the gold that we had in Fort Knox, minus the original, I think, 13 bars that the country started with, or something like that. It might be lower than that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we kept the amount of bars we had at the founding of the country, and then traded the rest to Israel.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Like, think about it. Like, the gold's gone, and then what do they do? They're like, oh, well, shit, man. We'll just fucking make paper, you know? And fucking they make paper for fucking 80 years. Pretty soon, like, now the paper's got to go because, you know, number one, it's too much paper. And number two, it doesn't add up. Like, the, you know, so it's kind of funny. Like, the real trick is that they've spun up the idea that there's an economy and that, you know, that there's this shit. Like, basically, they've taught you to value a thing that they made up, which is money, and they convinced you that with that you can get all the things that you don't have, you know, which by the time you get to money, by the time you have money, you probably don't have, like, a lot of other things, like friends, family that respects you, you know, other things, morals. Well,
it goes even deeper than that if you really think about it for a second, because it's literally like they've basically told you, okay, the way you guys did things your whole entire existence is stupid. No, 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 no. See, this is precious. This means a lot, and it's worth a lot. Okay, so we're going to base our money on this. Oh, wait, no, this isn't worth as much anymore, so we're going to base it off of this. And now they've gone so far out of touch that And it, like, they've gone so far off the rails with the government and the Jews and the way they pull the fucking strings, and the American populace has gotten so numb to it and so fucking stupid that they're seeing it before their own eyes, that the government literally flat out told them, listen, we're just printing money with nothing to back it. We're in debt. We should in no way be printing any money while we're in debt. No country should. But we are, because we can, due to this little loophole in the laws. And people are like, wait a minute, if you've had the capability to just make up money, why the fuck do I have to pay taxes?
I would take that even a step further and say you had the ability to just give things to people for free. So why do you need money? Like, you can just give things to people. And you might find that, like, the original impulse in society was to do that, was to give things and receive things without the exchange of some sort of equal value in paper. So if I needed apples and you had apples, you gave me an apple, you know? If we both needed apples, though, and you don't have one to give me, then you can't. Like, nature rules kind of set the economy. But also, like, just the whole impulse that, like, if you don't charge people for stuff and you don't it's basically a utopian idea. Maybe it's commie, maybe it's a little commie, but the Jew didn't teach you it didn't do the switcheroo between paper and gold. It did a switcheroo between you value the money more than you value the things that you can get with it. Like, well, if you're really hungry, right, you can't eat your money, but if you know, it used to just be, I'd give you an apple, right? I need to charge you a dollar for it, or you didn't need to pay me a dollar to get one, or, you know, any of that kind of shit. Like, it was a giving economy, not an exchanging economy. And so, like, the fact they even taught us that an exchange had to happen, I think it was like a fundamental mind fuck they did to people. Like, you can actually have an economy that's not based on, like, a transaction ledger, you know, and receipts and all this other shit, taxes. All the fucking garbage we make from the capital system. But, you know, as long as Jews control what you got, then guess who's going to win? Guess who's going to win all the gains?
Well, even in societies that were like a free barter society, that historically has always worked out and been a, for the most part, peaceful situation economically, mm-hmm. because if you didn't feel like it was a fair trade, you didn't trade. Or you worked something out to where you made it fair to each party. Cool. Yeah. There was no need for a third party.
Yeah. And there was a skill-based economy, right? Because, like, my skills are now valuable again, right? It's not like you just you can have enough money and you can get out of problems. Like, you actually have to still have skills to do things.
I need a sword. How much would you want for a sword? Well, what do you have? I have fish. You know, okay, 10 pounds of fish and I'll make you a sword.
Yeah. Shocking, but yeah. So it's, you know, there's a lot of these games, though. It's kind of a soap opera, but, you know, it's a lot of people have to deal with this. Like, what happens, you know, life is complicated and there are a lot of things you got to do, and there's things that you need and there's things that you want. And then you've got this whole idea, you got a plan. And then you kind of realize it's like, no, it's not my plan. Somebody else's plan is in control. Yeah. That was part of the J pill for me anyway. So, but that's one of the things that we do really well is adapt to shit like that. Right.
Well, that's what white people are.
We hope so. Anyway.
Good at historically, that has made us survive to this point as we adapt.
Absolutely, man. Adaptation is kind of our thing. So,
unfortunately, it's kind of kicked us in the ass because our people, by and large, have adapted to being bitches.
Well, I think some of those people are not necessarily early adapters. They're running from things so fast that they can't adapt new things fast enough, you know, because the thing they can't really stand is themselves. And so no matter how much things change, they'll always hate themselves and they'll always be looking for the next new thing. But you know, that won't stop the problem, you know. So
I'm just saying, I personally
adopting and adapting a little bit different things. Yeah, but you're right. Some people are really fast adopters.
If you're white and you can't just get behind being racist, cool. If you're not J-woke, cool. But if you're okay or you're complacent with the fact that these motherfuckers all hate you and that you've been so subverted to the as a race and as a people and so shamed for the last several decades that the race laws, the laws that prevent racism and crime, protect every race but white people, and you're okay with it, then, you know, God bless and Godspeed, brother, but I have no fucking use for you. Like, you're a bitch.
Yep. Yep.
It makes no sense to me how that cannot infuriate people.
Most people just don't know, and even if they did know, like they'd pretend to care, or I think the real problem is just that everybody's most reasonable people I know are mad about the same things. You know, they don't like the same things. They got problems with the same general things, and I think that there's varying levels of willingness to, you know, to act or do anything about it. And I don't just mean to like do whatever you think of do something radical, but just do anything at all. Like, most people, are mad because they pretend they're mad because you won't go and do the most radical thing. But the fact is that they don't seem to care that, you know, that you won't even like brush your teeth in the morning because, like, you know, you're not going out, or, you know, and this is kind of where National Socialism really was awesome, because like the actual lifestyle of like the society itself enforcing the general rules and expectations of society. So at least in that setting, you know, it meant that everybody was responsible for how everybody else looked and how they, you know, how we composed ourselves, and you know, everybody was on point with the salutes, and, you know, just the military, it showed in the military, you know, in the economy, and even society itself was like taking responsibility for its neighbors. And it was this whole it was the exact opposite of what we're doing now. You know, everybody is now is just out for themselves at the cost of society. And the more that they can cost society, you know, the better job they think they're doing, you know what I mean? But like, they're the thing that's actually tearing things apart, you know, and it really, it requires a fundamental desire to make a better thing for everybody here. And we used to want that because we used to all be white, basically, like, but now that's not the case. And so that impetus is gone. Like there, you don't find any great men that want to come along and they want to build a better thing, or they want to improve this or that. You might find some local news stories, you know, some fucking puff pieces about that kind of shit, but there's no industrialists that are out here trying to do, like, you know, build parks and fucking make life better for people and workers. And, you know, there's just no thought about that shit anymore because the industry's all gone. So, you know, you don't have these pillars of the community. So there's nothing holding it up. There is no community now. It's just hyper individualist. Everyone's really kind of just like in a survival kind of predator prey kind of mode. And, the idea of any kind of collectivism, particularly racial collectivism, something that's very second nature to them, to people that are lawfully protected from your racism, but you are not, like you said, you are not protected from theirs. And and they don't see the people that they don't see that, man, someone must have really hate you for that to be the case, you know what I mean? But they're just like, I hate you too, you know? So it's hey, if that wakes white people up to becoming racially aware, then I want to say I'm all for it. But whatever, you know, whatever brings you in. Yeah, I think maybe this speaks to what you were saying earlier about certain people that are responsible for bringing a lot of people in, you know, and then let that be our responsibility to keep you here, you know, if that's the case. Because like the person yeah. that's good at bringing him in isn't good at keeping him here, obviously. So
yeah.
Who's going to handle that? You know?
And it's like that, like it disgusted me so much watching that shit on the fucking news that came up every minute of every day during all the rioting and shit. It's like, I see all those fucking white guys wearing masks and shit running around with all the Black Lives Matter protesters. I'm like, if you think for one second, if you didn't just stand there and go, nigger, they wouldn't fucking swarm on you and beat you to death. You're a special kind of stupid.
They are a special kind of stupid. They're the kind that believes that if they did that, then it would have been their fault for doing something like they signaled wrong or their internal racism guys made me say it, you know, it's, and then, yeah, you're right. They won't own up to just like, hey, you're racist. You know what? I hate you. You know, I'm not really racist. I don't really hate you because you're racist. I hate you because you stole my bike and you niggers keep, you know, fucking breaking the law. You don't have job. I mean, there's just a million fucking reasons to hate niggers, but,
yeah,
you know, the best ones are the personal ones. You know, racism is offensive to me only because it's not personal enough. You know, like it's not just racism. You know, it's not just race because it's not just your race that sucks, but it's your it's everything about your race that sucks too. Like the way you fucking do everything. So
yeah,
it's not just race. There's culture involved. There's fucking economics involved. There's metaism.
Well, to me, being racist isn't hating anybody. I don't. The only people I hate, like truly fucking hate, is the Jews. Because I understand that though they are not us, though we do not belong together, I also understand that niggers are the way they are today because the Jews have fucking subverted them to that level. If you look at in America, if you look at black culture, anywhere in the world, really, you look at the way black people were back then, back pre-segregation in the U.S., pre-desegregation, completely fucking different. Once the government got involved in the household, the Jews had their thumbs in everything and they destroyed what they were, which were respectable, hardworking people at the time that stayed in their part of town unless they absolutely had no choice and didn't cause any problems and were respectable people and raised their kids to be good people. Now you've got a rap culture, gang culture, all that shit, and that's black culture now to the point where you have federal fucking government representatives that are speaking Ebonics. Like congresswomen speaking Ebonics.
I want to have a white culture where we don't have to talk about black culture at all because it's not a part of our lives. You know what I mean? But sadly,
I do too. I really do. But like I said, my thing is I don't truly hate them because I understand that the Jews have fucked them over as much as they fucked us over too. Like it's like, not just us they're after fucking everybody. They've got their little greedy fucking mittens on every culture, every race, if you can think of a way to divide people up, they've got their hands in it because what and who they are.
It makes sense. I mean, there's lots of reasons there's lots of reasons that I don't hate niggers, but there's a lot more reasons that I hate niggers, you know? So exactly. Like with me, like, it's cool. You know, like I can easily make an exception for this or that other thing. But, you know, in general, just like, why the fuck are you guys even still here? Like, if you don't like it here, fucking go away. We don't like you here either. I don't even like seeing niggers. You know, it's like I don't really care. It's like if it wasn't a social problem to even acknowledge the fact that niggers are different from white people, you know, and the fact that that's definitely going to cause problems if you acknowledge it, it doesn't matter. I mean, if you're white, it doesn't matter what you bring up. It's going to cause problems for people. But particularly, you're just bringing up the fact that you're a nigger and I'm not, you know, you're definitely going to be in some kind of trouble. Just the fact that that's even the case is ridiculous, and that's why, you know, we should have sent all them niggers home a long time ago. But people don't belong. I'm sorry, if you're not from this country, you don't belong in this country. If your grandparents came here 500 years ago, look, that sucks. But as a person whose grandparents came here before that, you know, fuck off. but it's not that big a deal. It's just like, I'm out of places to move, and there's niggas all over the world that'd be happy to have you. You know, just, you know, go away. But separatism is more. It's not just about like hatred and racism. I think you're right. Racism is not just about hatred either. You're totally right about that. You just love your own people, and that's going to include a healthy dose of stay the fuck away from me to other people. Regardless of how we feel about it, like we should have a place we can live without them. We should. There should be one. There should be one somewhere, and there's not.
That's the way the whole world should be. Is you know, if you look in the wild, you don't see different species of animals, you know, living in amongst each other. That's very rare that you see it.
And you definitely don't see them like, you don't see like some fucking red deer bringing in some fucking black deer, giving them a bunch of money and some crack and a house, you know. While a bunch of white deer are homeless, you know, and white war veteran deer are fucking, you know, are fucking seriously homeless. And it's just, you know, so the Jewish social system, their idea of tikkun olam is fundamentally flawed. Number one, because it comes from a tribal war deity that hates us. And number two, it's proven that they're not good at managing systems. The idea that you have to continually destroy your systems to hide, cover up, and corruption is a good indicator that your systems never fucking worked in the first place. And so the idea that we would call them bankers, or we would call them powerful people, the idea that we would call people that are incapable of managing banks, society, elites, you know, the idea that we call them these things, that's the ultimate submission to me, you know, in a way is like, these people aren't elite. They're bad at what they do. Their economies don't work. Their world plans don't work. They're constantly seeking the next visionary, you know, that's going to create the new world, because the world they made is fucking garbage. And so, like, I'm sorry, like, but fuck you. You know, the fact the world's garbage is because you don't make anything, and you just take ownership of the things that everybody else makes. And the people that actually make things, they should fucking keep their things to their own people, you know, and you know, the first chance you get to sell to a world market, you know, if you're a business, I'm a businessman. That's just a way of, you know, it's another misdirection of identity. You know, I'm a businessman, so I'm going to make immoral decisions under the flag of a non-white or a, you know, as it's not like a white man, an honorable white man.
Why do you need to make more money than to live comfortably?
Most people don't need to. Like, they don't need to. They don't even really need to live comfortably. In fact, that's pretty bad for you, you know. You should live slightly uncomfortably. But,
that's why you have hobbies.
If money runs your life, it's because you... If money is the... Yeah, I think in a way you allow, but also like you have a problem with priorities or prioritization of goals. Just because like money is just it's a means to acquire things, or as a tool of trade, that's a little bit different than the love of money, you know, which is just, you know, it's kind of a raw power thing. And I don't, you know, that's kind of Jewish. I don't think most white people even have that. I think most white people love flowers and fucking, you know, coffee and a good beer, or, you know, or just experience or something.
Well, that's kind of like, you know, my idea of, I'm a grandpa. My idea of spoiling my granddaughter, and she's only 2 years old now, is my idea of spoiling her isn't so much, you know, when we go to the store, I buy her a toy. No, it's, I spend time with her every single day.
Yeah.
If I'm out working on the tractor, she's out with me.
See, that's based.
A lot of times, like when weather's permitting and it's not too cold or rainy or nasty out. You know, if it's nice out, like earlier today, I was spreading gravel out here and she was sitting in Papa's lap.
Heck yeah, that's based. Especially on the tractor.
I'd rather spoil her with memories than material objects.
They'll outlast anything, that you can buy. Yeah, that's a fact.
Like, I don't remember very many, material gifts that I got aside from a couple of guitars that my grandpa got me. Like, my first two real guitars was an acoustic he bought me and a Gibson Les Paul Zach Wild custom that he bought me.
That's a nice guitar.
Oh, yeah. And the acoustic was a custom Alvarez.
Right on.
Like, they were both very nice guitars because he believed in me playing that much because he saw I was serious about it. And, like, I remember those two gifts because he gave them to me, but like, more than gifts, I remember, breaking horses with him. I remember working on trucks with him. All that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That was way more than, which, don't get me wrong, he got me some really cool gifts, but the memories that I have of doing things with him and him teaching me how to be a man are the things that have stuck with me.
That's good. I mean, that's exactly the way it should be. And being a part of people's lives and like you said, spoiling them, really just spoil them with your time and with something that's going to outlast anything that you could give them. I definitely agree. Like, the best gifts are like things they'll use forever, knowledge, learn lessons from grandpa, grandma, all those kind of things, especially at a critical time where they learn so much, right? Because the way before they hit the time they know everything, they want to know everything. And I think that's
constantly massive to learning be there. While they're awake.
Yep. I remember asking why.
Yeah, she follows her granny in the garden all the time. My wife will be out in the garden and the grandbaby's out there toddling along with her.
Or in my lap.
Like that's something that's sharpened our focus, honestly, over these last 2 years, is being a grandparent and being awake to everything. That really puts the 14 words into sharp, sharp focus.
So this is kind of where this is all going to head, or we're all headed by the end of the show anyway. But ultimately, if we're the ones that are going to get us out of anything, it's not going to be through something you can do to somebody else. It's going to be something you can do for somebody else. It's going to be something you need somebody that you can do things for, or you need to start doing things for those people. Whether it's teaching your children to carry on your traditions, to care about their race, to care about their culture. We've realized that culture has been used against us as a weapon and a wedge between people, right? People's desire to get along with one another, whether or not they hate each other, that varies between person to person. But like, ultimately, you're right. Like, the good, the benefit and the welfare of your own people is paramount in there being more of you. And then the more of you there are, the better things can be. But you can't just decline your way to a good life with the, especially when you're mixed around people that are on an opposite trajectory from a demographic perspective, right? So, have babies, right? But like, you can't just like, you're not going to have more babies by finding more Jews. You're going to have to find, you're going to have like lots of fucking kids, and you're eventually going to have to either outbreed your enemy or, you pretty much just have to outbreed them. There's no other way around it. Like, I don't think you can reduce their population enough or their fertility enough. least not in one generation, to flip things around. You're kind of in a fucked situation. You may have to do some dealing. You may have to do some compromising in the future.
Yeah.
Because the alternative is brutal, and frankly, I don't really know. I don't know. There's a lot of us, and there's a lot of us, but we're not in one place, and the country is massive, and even though we outnumber any enemy 10-1, 20-1, especially on our own land, you know, we also at the same time are, we're already physically in control of the land, but that doesn't stop anything, right? Like, it doesn't stop these people from doing shit. So what are you going to do? You know, if everybody was out looking for the bad guy, you know what I mean? Then they could still probably do whatever the fuck they want to do, just because nobody knows what the hell's going on. It's kind of crazy. There's starting to be more of a network of people, I think, that are sharing stuff. It's more than just reading Twitter, and it's more than just, you know, having hot takes on stuff. But like, really, when it comes to coordination and news about our own people, about any kind of, you know, collectivization or anything, who the hell would even, you know, who are even the people to report on that anyway, right? Like, there's no official, there's no press secretary for white folks. There's no white folks organization or anything like that. Maybe that's the start. Maybe that's the thing, is get some people to start some of those things and see if we can pull that off in the Trump economy or the Trump administration. I have a feeling that it won't work, but you got to try at least. There's like, no funding. You know,
impeccable OPSEC for it, but it's worth trying.
Well, you know, if it's interesting that if I don't really, I'm not into conditions, particularly conditional statements, because you normally only say them because things aren't the way you want to, like, project everything to be. So, like I could say, like, even if the Trump administration did something good for us, is a way of saying they're not going to do anything good for us. But just in the in the case that they did, would we be there to take advantage of it? And then how would we do that? We would have to work together. We would have to coordinate our own points and narratives. We would have to share them, distribute them quickly. We would have to deliver them effectively. You know, if you would have to do the things they do to win the game that they're playing. So, you know, the you can either teach people to do that and to win, or teach them to play a different game, or, you know, take them out of the game somehow. And this game here has just become rap music and bad jobs and you know, just the open borders, man, for a long time now. So to turn anything around is going to take some massive, massive coordination and a lot of spirit and determination to do that, right? That's what I don't see happening. I don't want to be pessimistic. I do believe people are going to, there's going to come a turning point, whether that's an event or just by degree. I do think that things will, I think things will turn around for us, but that's mainly just because the alternative is unthinkable. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's just kind of unthinkable. So,
I mean, it's,
you can't imagine not being here. Yeah.
The scary thing to me, I mean, it's funny, but it's also scary that it's almost like they still haven't realized it is, you know, like everybody freaked out when the whole Russia Ukraine thing popped off. And I was like, well, I saw that coming and I called that months ago. As soon as they got Trump out of office, the next Democrat that was take the seat, Russia was going to go in because he had no respect for anyone going into office, period. Then you had the whole Israel-Palestine thing. And I saw almost immediately, because of social media, until they cut internet off to Palestine, they literally had public opinion so far against them, and still do, even by the liberals. Like, most MAGA Americans don't support Israel anymore. Like, right. Only the hardcore, only the hardcore cut Christians still support Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so funny to me that they lost their, like, they overplayed their hand so much, and they lost, they misjudged how tight of a grip they had on public perception of them, that you're seeing so much anti-Semitism. Like, when in the past do you remember so much anti-Semitism that there were fucking presidential orders signed off about it?
I don't ever remember it, but then I never paid attention to it until I became an anti-Semite myself.
Well, it never happened.
Yeah, I'm sure I heard the word. Like, okay, I could have easily been alive for 20, 25 years, heard the word anti-Semitism a million times, and would have never thought, what does that mean? Or, you know, to be interested in, you know, like, what's Semitism? What the fuck is... Yeah, I'm just thinking it's just another word I don't know the fucking meaning of. But, yeah. So I wouldn't really, you know, like, unless I knew what it meant, it didn't really mean anything. If you would have said, like, I'm trying to think of something that existed when I was a young person that would still exist today. There's not anything. And I'm not sure that there's always, like, been nerds and jocks and shit like that. But, you know, social order, right? There's a bit of a social order, but there was no longstanding cultural institution other than television that's, you know, been the same all this time. You know, even though it's kind of changed shapes.
There is something on that front, though, that I wanted to get your opinion of, because I'm fucking pissed about it.
What's that?
Like, I'm so irritated about it still to this day that it's not even funny. It's illogical at this point. But so our naval ship that was hit with a missile, that, you remember that deal?
Liberty?
Israel shot one of our naval ships with a missile.
Yeah. I remember the USS Liberty. That was a torpedo, right?
They hit him with a torpedo. But they admitted that it was them and that they did it intentionally. Now, historically, the U.S.'s stance has been, don't touch my fucking boats. Japan fucked around, touched the boats. They found out. You know, Iran fucked around, touched the boat in the 90s. In the 80s, they found out.
Yeah.
You know, that's been our stance. The Navy was founded due to piracy. And the first time we didn't strike at all. We just patrolled our borders to ward them off. And the first time they touched us, we wiped out the entire fleet.
Yeah.
It's always been our stance. There's still been zero official statement.
I think that was one of the first cases of, like, don't look and it didn't happen. I mean, it wasn't the first case, obviously. I think that was one of the most egregious cases against actual soldiers and sailors, because there were a lot of men who died. There were a lot of men who were, you know, permanently damaged. And paying restitution to those men would have been an admission of something that they could not admit politically. So they basically swept the whole thing under the rug, and basically denied, like almost denied the existence of the Liberty, you know, essentially though, just never giving the answer, doing the Stonewall thing that the Pentagon's always done. So like, they're never going to officially recognize the Liberty, or that there was a tragedy, or that Israel was an aggressor, or there's just a number of things that were true at the same time that they're never going to admit to. We would like them to just simply, they don't even have to admit to nothing, but we'd like them to at least pay the men and pay the families of the men who died, you know, and take care of them, you know, the way that they would have, you know, had those men served out their careers. I think that would have been a starting move, is to cover the soldiers, but they never did.
I think they are, but they're also not giving them
no medals, no congressional medal, no...
There's no medals being awarded. Yeah. There's like, even the injured guys aren't getting a Purple Heart.
Yeah. My understanding was, like, most of these guys were
in an active theater, so...
Right. I think they had to sign probably NDAs, you know, to even collect a pension at all, if they're collecting one. And it's a shame. But it's one of those things, it's where it's still always going to be a political situation where they would see, you know, they would basically where the truth isn't as important to them as the relationship. So like, they just, you know, they're just going to seriously just like act like it didn't happen. And that's pretty much it.
Of course, you don't want your country finding out on the news, seeing on the news, because you know you'd have to cover it at least once. That, wait, our greatest ally attacked us unprovoked.
Yeah. And I don't even know if it would be like if that's the real danger. Like, but the real danger is what happens when the people that are fighting over there realize that the people back here don't know, don't care, because they're not being told. You know what I mean? Like, what's that do for morale? And then, you know, how much more dangerous does that make it for you? You know, if you're one of the boss of the bigwigs. Yeah, in my mind, you know, the military is always going to do, like, it's trained and specialized in what it does, so it's going to do what it does. And generally, politics don't affect the army that much. But even though the men's probably at least aware of what they're told, right? Because everybody just reads the paper, or they get what news is around. If you own all the papers, you own all the radio stations, generally it's not a problem for you, you know, what people know, because you're the one telling them. But in the military, I got to think there'd be a little bit more privacy, I suppose. So maybe, I couldn't say like, military communications are owned by Jews, but at the same time, like they're owned by the military. So, you know, generally things don't leak, and shit happens every day that nobody knows about. And even though there's protocols and paperwork and all that involved, like most people never will. But if you found out that nobody gave a shit, you know, like even your enemies didn't care. Like, China's not going to spy on you, nigger. They own the fucking land next to you. Like they're farming beans over there. Or spying on you.
If I found out tomorrow that they had declassified shit that I was involved in, dude, I'd be telling some crazy fucking stories to people that they wouldn't believe.
That's the problem, is what happens when they don't, you know? Like, like if you tell me something, even if you told me something I believe, there's still a good chance that nothing's going to happen.
This will explain to you kind of how the military like works with that kind of stuff. Is he's a really famous soldier from Vietnam. He's not white, unfortunately, but his name is, he's a Native American. His name is Roy Benavidez.
Kind of familiar.
Medal of Honor Ranger.
Right on.
The Unkillable Ranger.
Who?
They lead the way. So this guy, well, he wasn't actually a ranger when this happened. He started out as a ranger when he went to Vietnam. Like, he had been in the army since a couple years after Korea. And he worked his way up. He got lied to by the recruiter like everyone does. He didn't get his ranger school off the bat like he was supposed to. You know, had to dick around in the infantry for a while, and then eventually he became a ranger, and then got recruited to MACV-SOG. And it took him, from the day the event happened, I think it took him like 8 years to get approved for the Medal of Honor, and they had to try like 4 different times to get it. And it was because he got shot like 28 times, something like that. He flew into a
damn, that's a hell of times
to save his guys in MACV-SOG, in a country they weren't in, Cambodia, where they weren't supposed to be, with a fucking knife and a med bag. That was it.
Yeah.
And just started picking up guns, laying down fire, and rescuing dudes. He got stabbed with a bayonet. Like, he got all sorts of fucked up. They thought he was dead. They had him in a body bag. The only reason they realized he was alive was one of his friends saw him and told the medic to check again. And when he knelt down to listen for a heartbeat, Roy spit in his face. But it took him so long to get his Medal of Honor because they told the whole truth of the story is that it happened in Cambodia. They ended up having to change it, that it was to the east, or to the east of whatever base he was stationed at.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess there's always kind of a fear if something happens that like someone might hold you accountable, responsible. I could see where there might have been that fear at one time. I don't think anybody cares anymore. Like, it's just, we've seen people so much get away with something. I suppose, though, if you're not like a somebody, then there's a good chance that you are going to get caught by, you know, somebody's going to come looking. I don't know. There's times when you're definitely going to be held accountable for things. And then most of the time in cases where people won't be, they don't fucking care. You know what I mean? Like, they just, I guess you have to worry. Like, if you're an officer, you made a bad call or something, there's maybe a chance that after something happens, they'll come back to haunt you, right? Like, maybe a bad choice or a missed call or just a poor choice of commands, whatever. I guess there's a chance in the military where you could actually, like, go to jail or get charges filed against you for shit that happened back in the day. Generally, in the private sector, you don't have that problem, you know, like,
you don't even have to be an officer. I believe there's a statute of limitations. I'd have to look it up again. It's been a long time since I looked into all of it. But if it's found that you took part in a war crime, they will come after you after the fact and throw your ass in prison for it.
Exactly. For sure. Yep.
And there's only one way of getting out of that. Period. And that is the military motto of, it's never a war crime the first time.
Right on. It ain't a war crime the first time. I like that.
Yeah. All right. Chat, do we have any questions? Send in a dono and ask any questions you want of our guest Blood tonight.
And, shit, I'm a broke nigga. I got to get some bolts myself. I don't have no bolts, bro. I got to get some bolts.
Yeah.
Got to get some bolts here.
But while we're waiting on any questions, is there anything else that you wanted to talk about? Like anything you got coming up? Maybe.
Oh shit, man. I kind of forgot to talk about anything. We just kind of been shooting the shit for a couple hours. I think really, there's a lot of things that I want to do, right now. I just got my speech to speech technology back in at least a fairly reasonable workflow. It's open. So I've been trying to, go open source with all the stuff that I use. Number one, because like, it's expensive to use the paid services. There was, you know, and it's not expensive if you're making a lot of money, but if you're not, then it is. And so like, you find yourself making, like, you gotta have to make some fast decisions pretty quick about like, where am I keeping my audiobooks or where is, you know, so some of the 11 Lab stuff costs a lot of money. So the first thing that I'm kind of glad they took it away. But they took away my ability to make my voice somebody else's voice. So that's how I did my Alex Jones impressions. That's how I did like my deep fakes. And it wasn't the only way to do them, but it was the way I preferred to do it. And so when 11 Labs banned me, because that's the Jews ran some hit piece in Washington Post, the 11 Labs bans me, and then they changed the rules on how to clone voices. And so now to clone a voice, you have to have someone's permission. You have to have their voice that says that you have permission, and they have to scan that. So like, the days of cloning somebody else's voice on 11 Labs, if you didn't know them, or, you know, it wasn't possible, like they're dead, or like they're Rockwell or Elvis or anybody else, you can't clone their voice all of a sudden, because you can't have permission. So it changed the way that they applied the rules. And so that changed my necessity to find something else that worked. And there hasn't been anything, believe it or not. Like, there's 50 places where you can turn text to speech online. There's 50 places where you can turn speech to text. And there's there's places where you can have all kinds of like translation done between languages. And there's some that translate languages in real time. But just to find something where I can, there are voice changers that streamers use, but there's not anything that will replicate the voice of an old dead guy on the radio, you know, or something the way that we heard it, the way that we remember it, like just copying their voice, you know, originally did. So long story short, 11 Labs costed $300 a month, you know, back when I was using it a lot. And so I'm glad that I was forced to find another way to do it, because if they hadn't banned me, I would have stayed there. I would probably given them, you know, enough money to build a fucking computer that'll host an AI. You know, like I'd have given them thousands, like $3,000 or $4,000 by now, maybe $6,000. Let's say it cost me $300 a month for 12 months for 2 years. That's what's that? That's like $7,200. That would build a big enough computer to hold my own AI, you know, but the technology is all I needed, right? Like the software. So
yeah,
there hasn't been much. So it was, for me, it was a half a year without this. And it, because of it, I didn't do deep fakes very much anymore. And other things just kind of took over my time. But, I got that back just a couple days ago. I was playing around with some a lot of AI lately, trying to go open source. I want to I want everything I use to be free and something that I can find online, and as that way I'm not all my eggs aren't in one basket, and just open source is the way to go. Like, you don't want to be in somebody's pockets. So
yeah.
So to get that back was a miracle. Like we had like the light bulb moment, I think, during the morning show. I'd been up for like 20, 30 hours. You know, it was kind of like seeing shit out of the corner of my eyes, hallucinating.
Yeah.
But I'm just like so tunnel visioned on this and trying to get this voice to voice thing to work. And so I got a thing, and I trained the model, and then I trained I think it took like 4 hours to train this model. And I found a way to plug it in and make it work. And all the buttons were in Chinese, but, I got it to work, man. And just like to hear somebody's like, it was Lou Dobbs's voice, but to hear that come out as G. Edward Griffin's voice was just like, it was like magic, you know, and fucking, that was like getting back something that the Jew took away from me. So that was an interesting time. Because of that, I'm going to be doing stuff in the future that's been a while, but I'm going to try to do a film kind of like The Real Nazis was. I've got this old movie about the Olympics, right? I've got Olympia, which was about the 36 Olympics from Berlin. And it was in 38 that they made the movie. And yeah. So I'm going to remake Olympia, I think, with that same voiceover that I did with The Real Nazis.
That'll be
cool. Then I'm going to, and then the show's kind of changed. I kind of eased off on the morning show and been doing the primetime thing more. So just doing more of the Doom Depot. I got a big guest coming up tomorrow night. Jay Otto Pohl is going to be my guest there tomorrow. And I got more guests I'm talking to down the road. So, you know, the same show pretty much, but it's in primetime USA instead of 4 in the morning. It's more like 4 in the afternoon.
Night.
Nice. Yeah, it's kind of nice to flip the clock over. Sure.
So, Anonymous Goy, thank you for the donation of 500 volts. By the way, everybody, anyone who donates, I split it with the guests.
Give us your money. Give you money.
Right thing to do.
that's awfully kind of you. It's white of you.
But he asks, how are you finding streaming on White Pilled so far, Bud?
So, streaming on White Pilled has been, from my understanding, is fairly flawless, right? It's been fairly flawless. I think there's times where, like, you've been attacked. White Pill's been attacked by people. And just like with some other places that I've been, when you're under attack, you know, people get disconnects, people get, like, chat problems, things like that. I think generally it's cool to see every site, especially White Pill, be really quick about not only fixing problems but bringing new stuff all the time. Like, there's been more new things than there have been, you know, old things that needed to be fixed. And that's pretty cool. I realize as things get bigger and things get more sophisticated, particularly the attacks, that, you know, you'll have to have services that will cost even more money, and you already put a lot of money into your own site and your own servers and all this other shit, you know, so it's important to kind of like grow the platform, bring people on, and put good entertaining stuff on the platform. But that said, I think White Pill's hitting on all cylinders. Like, there's times where I will look during the Doom Depot and I will see like six shows on at White Pill, like on a Friday night or Saturday night. There'll be six or seven things on, man, you know, and like White Pill's killing it, man. Like, they got like eight shows going on, and FTJ will just have like me and Davis, you know, and maybe NNR will spin up toward the end of my show. But there's times where prime time, man, White Pill's banging. So my time streaming there technically has been wonderful, man. Like, I haven't had to put in a stream key, you know, in my own software. There's such a time consuming process of going through this ritual before every stream, where you set up seven platforms to receive your stream, and you put the keys in and all this other shit. White Pill is the easiest, because I don't have to change anything. I just copy paste the same description. You know, the titles work, you know, so just, the titles are in the drop down already. It's the fastest, easiest setup for any stream so far, and by far. Maybe DLive is just about just as easy, because DLive is the same thing. You click one button to go to the site. You fucking paste in the name of the show. Everything else just carries over. There's no setup. It's just, you know, it's all configured. So White Pill has technically been very, very easy to stream on, and a very good experience. That said, though, I've never watched my own stream on those same platforms, because I'm obviously doing that stream at the time. So, I've never been on the watching end of a stream too much. The streams that I do see, like, I'll check Fucktron's stream and I'll drop in, see what he's up to, or, you know, really anybody that's streaming, I'll try to pop in anyway. And so from like the viewer perspective, it's always worked pretty flawlessly. Like, but that said, like, somebody told me the other day they had to log in to watch a video, and I thought, that's weird that I didn't know that, because I've been streaming there for like 6 months now or some shit. And I've never had to log in, because I've always been logged in. Like, the first thing I did was log in, and I've just been logged in ever since. So I wouldn't even have thought about that would be a thing.
Yeah, it unfortunately, it was because we were being bot view attacked so hard that we crashed the servers, and we had to. We hated having to do it. But at the same time, at least we know that, and our streamers and the people watching know that every view that the streamers on White Pill are getting are actual viewers. They're real people.
Real people. We got real people watching real streams.
There's no propping up our numbers. We got another question here, and we do appreciate the feedback on that, Blood. We really do.
Oh, dude, if you ever want feedback, just hit me up, man. I got. I mean, I'll fucking tell everybody everything. Sometimes I think I'm too mean, or like I give a little bit too harsh of feedback there to some folks. But in general, I mean well. But like sometimes it sounds more like, you know, hey Josh, what the fuck is the problem with this fucking thing? You know, or you know, hey, what's up, Spy Hunter? What the fuck is it? What's going on with this? So
sometimes honesty hurts. You know, sometimes honesty hurts, man. It's just how it is.
Honesty is not always nice. Here.
The White Reaper asked, tip 300 bolts. Thank you, White Reaper, for your donation. White fucking power, brother. Thank you very much.
White power, so, White Reaper.
Blood, what is your favorite open source AI generator for pics? White fucking power, my nigga. /.
Fucking power, dude. Flux. I mean, easily Flux Dev. The Dev version. And if you can get away with running the full version and not the quantized version, like if you can get away from the 8-bit or the 16-bit, if you have something big enough to run the full size Flux One Dev version, it's pretty fucking nice. I wanted to really like other engines better. There were other engines that I wanted to work with. I particularly wanted to work with like video generation, but so far, like even just fucking around on Flux One has made some of the most amazing AI images I think I've run across. And a lot of times I fuck it up and I you know, I use like the wrong stuff and I don't put the right sampler on the mother. But generally speaking, like Flux has made some of the most beautiful shit I've seen so far. I think it's by far the best privately available, actually runnable on your own home system kind of AI generator that there is right now.
That's good for people to know right there.
It's by far the best. It's so much better than the others that I don't know if my favorite actually matters, or if, you know, if it matters to think to consider one a favorite. That's how good the Flux generator is.
Nice. And as good as the stuff you're putting out looks, then that should be more than satisfactory for anyone wanting to get into it, or if you're already into it and looking for a different generator. Then
AI is one of these things where if you're really like getting into it, can cost you a lot of money. So like, if you want to do things from the perspective of like saving the most money, you will do things totally differently than if you can just do the greatest things. But that said, the best results I've gotten for my buck were so good that it kind of makes the question of favorites kind of seem irrelevant, you know. But Flux One is like that. It's that good. It's that cheap. It's that small. You can run it on an RTX 4080, 4090. If you get a 50 series card, you can do whatever you want. But Flux One, yeah. You can't really get Flux Pro. Like, there's a Pro version, but it's not accessible to the public, and you know, and so you can't have that one. It's probably too big to fit on your shit anyway. For what you can run at home, though, man, Flux One kills it. Flux One dev.
I've recently, because I'm a tattoo artist by choice now. But my drawing ability has kind of gone down over the years because of injuries and health issues, things like that. But I've recently gotten into looking. I've started looking in because I'm technologically retarded. Full nothing honesty, wrong with you. I mean, I just am. But I'm looking into some AI art apps to kind of start rendering ideas that I'm no longer capable of drawing.
Right.
They're just too intricate for me anymore.
It is an interesting thing. If you have like an idea what you want, like you actually have with AI, you can with some AIs, you can kind of get what you want out of them. Like, totally. If I wanted like a picture of a fucking fish tank, it will fucking make that. And I can even refine some AIs to exclude some things or to redraw certain things or to reformat their prior idea. And that's what I end up kind of doing a lot of. But as far as what's commercially available at home, you can't really find an AI that remembers the picture that it just made. So like, you can't like tell it to draw it again, but with less whatever. So like, there's a totally different model for the, you know, something that'll take a picture and then make something out of it. So,
well, with
there's
my
an
family,
idea that you can do anything, but you can't quite, but you can get anything out of it. You just may not have control over it so much.
I learned that pretty quick with my dabbling with it, with my tattoo work. And I literally got now to where when I do use it, which I don't use it very often yet, but when I do, it's usually for larger pieces. And I've gotten to where I'll find one that I like it, but there's a couple little things, like there's a few details in it that I don't like how they're done. Mm-hmm. So it's not quite how I want it. So I'll save that one and then try again and just kind of scroll through some, regenerate. Yep. And scroll through.
Yep.
And then find ones with more of the detail, those details I want, but all the other stuff's wrong.
I had this conversation with Night Nation the other day. That basically what you're doing, yes, you're building up assets, right? Like, you're not just kind of like drawing things that you want. I mean, that's kind of an artsy way of looking at it. But really, like from my perspective and from a lot of media people's perspective, it's that you have an ability now to generate assets that you would otherwise have to buy or license with other people. So like if you want to do a legit show, if you want to do a legit business, and you've got like other people's artwork, other people's songs, other people's stuff, you don't have the rights to those things. Like if you really get pressed on that shit, you know, the fact is like there's Jews out there that make it where you never make a dime doing anything. So like in one way, like streaming for donos is kind of makes all that shit irrelevant because we don't really sell anything. There's no service involved. In fact, you know, if it wasn't just for the fact that I was listening to the shit, you wouldn't hear it either, you know, but, what's interesting is being able to generate art assets that don't cost anything and aren't licensed to anybody is much more of a production asset than any sentimental connection to a piece of art. Well, I mean, something you draw yourself is different, but like something you generate on AI is not, you don't really have that artistic connection. Like you worked on that, or this was a particular moment of brilliance for me, or this is the time I took this chance and it really paid off. You don't really get that with, you know, the AI button, but what you do get is you get unique artwork that's right. It's like, it's not exactly how you'd want things, but it's close enough that you can either manipulate it later. Like I can take a picture of any person and I can deep fake that picture later and make another piece of content from that. And that there's no person that can sue me for that. There's no person that can come after me if I make Mein Kampf with Gemma Watson instead of Emma Watson. So that value of AI as a creative tool is incalculable as a weapon against the Jews, as a weapon against the lawfare that they use to keep actual artists from making money or from doing business outside of their networks.
Yeah, that's kind of like for what I do, that's kind of like the whole I don't know if you ever heard about it, but the whole the movie The Hangover, the lawsuit over it. Scene where the skinny friend gets the Mike Tyson face tattoo, like he the artist that did that tattoo and designed it for Mike copywrote that artwork without Tyson even knowing about it, and he ended up suing the fucking production company for the movie and the writer of the movie, because it was written in the script for copyright infringement.
Anyone?
Yeah.
Based.
He won.
Yeah, I mean, so like you should like if it's something that you design, I totally get intellectual property. I'm for it. I'm for intellectual property. I'm for like you owning your ideas. If it's not your idea, it's just something that you made, like an AI made, this is where you get into the realm of the Jew. And so it's nice to have something that's not assigned to somebody. They don't have the rights to it. There's a usage license that you'll run across with any of these AI platforms where basically you don't own the rights. You can't actually, I can't make a YouTube channel out of Suno songs and make money off of it. I will get sued. I will get DMCA'd by the platforms that made the song, because it's not only written in their contract, but that, you know, their identifying information is coded into the song itself. So all of those things are things that it'll use for proof against you.
My thing though is with the whole tattoo thing, my issue with it was, if that's what you meant that to be, then you shouldn't have tattooed it on another person. Like I've got stuff on me that are custom designs that I came up with that I fucking loved, and I designed them for me, that I put on myself and no one else will get.
Right.
There's other things like I've got my Scottish clan badge tattooed on my chest, and so does every man in my family. And next year, or this year, my son turns 21, and I think we're going to do it this year.
Going to go get inked up. There you go.
Well, all he's got to do is sit in the living room.
Easy enough. Have a beer. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's good. I think, you know, traditions, man. Fucking all. I'm for it. As far as the IP, I kind of the same way. I don't think I'd sue somebody if they use something that I made. I kind of encourage people to do that. But at the same time, you know, there are already rules, you know, so it's like my rules don't always apply, and they, you know, should they? I don't be nice they did, but I guess they don't. I don't care if they should or shouldn't, right? Basically though, if I hate to get sued by somebody because I used a picture that they made, but everything I make, and is with every streamer for the most part, shows content that they didn't create. So I've tried to go the other way and create all of the content I show. Yeah, you'll see where that goes. Like it's impossible, right? You spend 10 hours making 10 minutes of content.
Yeah. I'm new to the streaming. This show and our Saturday night show that we started, I think 2-3 weeks ago now, is literally my first dive into this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've never been much of an online person. I just, to me, the internet has always been like, I don't mind popping in while my wife's in a chat and talking to people, which, you know, I've done that a lot over the years, but I don't spend a lot of time on the internet because I'm just the kind of person that if I'm not like up active doing shit, I go nuts. I can't stand it.
No, that's a good way to be, honestly. Like the internet's like a great place to order a pizza or fucking look up something that you need to know. You know what I mean? But yeah, other than that, like you're really just you're at your table in your kitchen. You know, you're not really in the internet. Yeah.
For me, the internet's always just been a really, really good place to get pissed off by stupid people.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. There's no shortage of trolls and aggressors and agitators. In a way, that's kind of their domain. Because, like, real life doesn't work out well for them for that kind of behavior.
So understand, people, don't be on the internet being stupid. And with that, it is time to sign off.
Well, so thank you, man. It's been great it's been great being on. And thanks to the chat. And thanks to huge thanks to all the chat. Reaper and Ongoy for supporting the stream. And Crystal and Whitefire, everybody else that's hanging out with us tonight. White power.
Absolutely white fucking power, buddy, and good night from White Pilled.